Today's daf was Erev and Daf Pei. In the last daf, we had the Mishnah that said that in order to be makna the sheet of Mavuos, you have to lift it up off the ground, the tefach. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that says you just need to be magbia min akarka kolshu. So the Gemara says, yeah, mashu doesn't really mean a mashu, it means a tefach. So then the Mishnah also said that you have to do a formal act of kinyan when you do a shitufe Mavuos. So it's logical to assume that since there was no such Mishnah that said about any formal act of kinyan about Eruvei Tchumin, but it said such a thing about shitufe Mavuos, that you need a kinyan by Shituvei Mavuos, but not by Eruvei Tchumin. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, even though Shmuel holds that way, that you need a kinyan for Shituvei Mavuos, not for Eruvei Tchumin, Rav holds the exact opposite, that you only need a kinyan for Eruvei Tchumin, not for Shituvei Mavuos. So the Gemara answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Chia, that an Eruv Tchumin does need a kinyan, and that's why Rabbi Chia disqualified the Eruv Tchumin made for Aboshia's daughter-in-law when she was outside the Tchum Shabbos at the bathhouse, and the mother-in-law tried to make her an Eruvei Tchumin for her. That's what it was missing. It was missing a kinyan, that you had to make a kinyan on the Eruvei Tchumin. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, allowed the Eruvei Tchumin even without a kinyan. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us that Rav Nachman holds Echad Eruvei Tchumin, Echad Eruvei Chatzeros, Echad Shituvei Mavuos, all of them Tzarech Lezakos. Every single one of them require a kinyan. So the Gemara says, yeah, what about Eruv Tavshilin? Does that require a kinyan? So he wasn't sure whether it requires a kinyan. Now Shmuel held Beferish that it requires a kinyan even for an Eruv Tavshilin, but Rav Nachman didn't know that Shmuel had held that way, and therefore Rav Nachman still wasn't sure. The Gemara then tells two very similar stories about Hutor Zina, a certain non-Jew whose job it was to watch over the weapons in a certain neighborhood, so first in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood, and in order to join, in order for the Jews to be able to make a Shituvei Mavuos, you need to get a Schirus Rishus from the guy. But the problem was, the guy wasn't interested in doing the Schirus Rishus. This weapon watcher wasn't interested in doing it, so they managed to convince his wife to participate in the Schirus Rishus, and they wanted to know if that's good enough. So in separate instances, Reish Lakish paskened in the name of Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yehuda paskened in the name of Shmuel, that Ishto Shalada Ma'areves Shalomidaito, to join an Eruv, a person's wife, who's a wife of a Jew, could join in the Eruv on behalf of her husband. So we assume that if that could be done in the Jewish world for joining an Eruv, so probably the same thing could be done in the non-Jewish world in terms of doing a Schirus Rishus. The Braisa tells that a woman does need her husband's consent to participate in the Eruv Rishituv, must be speaking about a rare case, de lo asar, where their residence doesn't asar anybody else in the Chatzar or the Mavui. For example, if their chatzar happens to open up into two mavuos, so they're not really needed for the participation. So then you would actually need the husband's consent. We cannot prove though that a person can be forced into participating in Eruv from the fact that Shmuel holds that they can be forced to help pay for a lechi or a kora in a mavui, because that's actually structural. Something structural they may have to pay for, but that doesn't mean that a person is going to be forced into paying for a halachic mechanism like an Eruv. And the Gemara just mentions parenthetically that Rabbi Chia Barashi holds that osin lechi asherah, you can make a lechi even out of an asherah tree, which is aser bahana, but you're not allowed to make a korah because there's a minimum size requirement, and we assume that kitusim echta shiure, that an asherah tree can't fit that size requirement because we view it as if it's chopped up into tiny pieces. Rabbi Shimon Lakish thinks even a korah you can make out of an asherah tree. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis tells us nismayta ochel mosav umazaka vein sarach laudia, if the amount of food in the eruv or the sheet of dipped below the required amount, so you could add more and make a kinyan on behalf of everybody without even telling them about it. And there are two ways to understand. Either if we're replenishing the same type of food, then you don't have to tell anybody even if all the food is gone. If you're replenishing a different type of food, then you don't have to tell anybody if most of the food is gone, but some of it is still there. If it's all gone, then sarich lodia, you would have to tell everybody. The Mishnah went on to say, if new people move in on Shabbos, most of them mazaka, or during the year, most of them mazaka v'tzarech lodia. Then when you add new food, you need to make a new kinyan, you need to let everybody know that they're being included. And that's regardless whether they're in a chatzah that belongs to a single mavu or in between two mavuos, and that's against the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that by Ruvi Chatzeros, we're ma'arvin bein ladas bein shalolodas. He thinks you don't have to tell anybody anything, you could just include them in the area of Chatzeros. And then finally, at the end, the Mishnah says, kamu hushiura, what's the amount of food necessary for an Eruv? So we said for each person that's participating in the Eruv, one grogros of food. But once you get to 18 or more people, then all you need is mazon shtei sudos, even though mazon shtei sudos only includes 18 grogros. And as I said, we'll start tomorrow by discussing the shir kazayis that we could derive from this halacha.